translation. The goddess of fortune is attracted by his sweetness, which Srila Rupa Goswami has described in this way. Somebody whistling? Krishna's playing his flute while he's eating. Srila Rupa Goswami in his Laghu Bhagavatamrit is quoted from the Padma Purana, where it stated that Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, after seeing the attractive features of Lord Krishna, was attracted to him. And to get the favor of Lord Krishna, she engaged herself in meditation. When asked by Krishna why she engaged in meditation with austerity, Lakshmi Devi answered, "I want to be one of your associates like the gopis in Vrindavan." Hearing this, Lord Sri Krishna replied, "It was quite impossible." Lakshmi Devi then said she wanted to remain just like a golden line on the chest of the Lord. The Lord granted that request, and since then Lakshmi has always been situated on the chest of Lord Krishna as a golden line. The austerity and meditation of Lakshmi Devi are also mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.16.36, where the Nagapatnis, the wives of the serpent Kaliya, in the course of their prayers to Krishna, said that the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, also wanted his association as a gopi and desired the dust of his lotus feet. Translation, the goddess of fortune is attracted by his sweetness, which Srila Rupa Goswami has described in this way. And then the next verse, obviously, is the famous verse, which will be spoken of next week. Krishna in his threefold bending form, if you have any attraction to this material, don't go to Keshigat. So he's speaking on that verse in the next verse. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Grupasindubhayivacha Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitya Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So these verses which we're looking at right now, they're being spoken by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and of how everyone is attracted to Krishna. And previous verses were speaking about Brahma and so on. So these verses are all about how everyone becomes attracted to the sweetness of Krishna. And specifically today, Rupa Goswami's verse from the Laghu Bhagavatamrita is being discussed about Lakshmi Devi. How she was also very attracted to Krishna as well. So in preparation for Gaura Purnima, we have coming up on Thursday. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu And his philosophy will be spoken all the way through. Of course, we don't have any special classes this time, I don't think. Well, I haven't looked at the schedule, but maybe not. Normally we have some run-up classes towards Gopanim. But maybe they are there and I haven't noticed the schedule on that. But generally there are classes which lead us on to the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And generally just speaking a little bit on that, that the we were just in Mayapur, in meetings myself, Goridas, Pranamandu, Sitaram, we'd all gone for some meetings then. Heard many, many classes on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his glories from so many devotees. And there were devotees from 64 countries. So every flavor was there, every language you could think of was there. So as Prabhupada often would speak about, this is the real United Nations. I believe one gentleman from the United Nations had come there once, and he had come for the morning aarti, and he noticed, he'd come at this specific time, and he noticed that everyone from every walk of life was there, in every country, and when they were making the announcements, there were translations in whatever, 40 languages. So he recollected, this is just like the United Nations meetings, when there are translations in so many languages that actually happen. So Mahaprabhu definitely began the real United Nations, as the United Nations officer said. But the biographies of Mahaprabhu were written within a decade of his leaving, which is very interesting, because generally biographies are written a little later, or like Christ, the Bible was actually put onto paper 100 years after his leaving. So after 100 years, you know, many things can change. Even right now, isn't it? Every class, you know, if someone will say, Prabhupada had said, now we wonder, often I heard someone say, so you can see how things can change. So that's just within 25 years of Prabhupada leaving, or what to speak of 100 years, what may have happened. So Mahaprabhu's biography was all done within 10 years of his leaving, and they were based on the Kadachas, which are the diaries of specifically Murari Gupta, who kept a diary, and Swarup Damada, who kept a diary. So it's interesting that people keep diaries, isn't it? You found Shruti Kirti kept a diary, Hari Sori kept a diary. They all kept diaries so that you would note everything that happened. So similarly, these diaries were kept by Murari Gupta and Swarup Damada about the Lord and his pastimes. And the first biography which came out was known as the Krishna Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this was by Murari Gupta. He'd from his diaries, from his Kadachas, he'd brought this out. And just after that, there was the Chaitanya Mangal, which was by Lochan Das Thakur, yes. And we went to that place, we can say, where Lochan Das Thakur wrote Chaitanya Mangal. What was that place? I can't remember. They said to us, this is where Lochan Das Thakur sat, and he wrote Bardanga. So he wrote Chaitanya Mangal from there. And then, of course, there is Kavi Karnapur's 10-act drama, Chaitanya Chandradoya Natika, which is there as well. And then Prabhupada will then speak often about the fact that the most authentic and the first Bengali rendition is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is here. Of course, that was written in Radhakund, where Krishnadas Kaviraj writes on this rendition. And of course, alongside that, there is the Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur. And that's specifically looking at the childhood pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just yesterday, we were at a function, and we were trying to say that it's very good you're having this function near Gaura Purnima, because Gaura Purnima is like the new year as well. And we looked up the calendar, Gorabda, and it says 525 or 526, one of those that Mahaprabhu appeared. So this is, we often say 500 years ago, so it's 525. It's moved on. Moved on since the 500 years we normally would quote, 526. So specifically in today's verse, we were looking at the principle, and the previous verses were speaking on the same principle, that how everyone is attracted to Krishna, And Rupa Goswami is writing again from his Laghu Bhagavatamrita. And really the name Krishna is defined as the all-attractive person. Why shouldn't everyone be attracted to Krishna in that principle? And it's not only that, as in this verse, that Lakshmi Devi, Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda, Sidharam Lakshmi Hanuman, Shishi Gauri Thakijai. And it's not only that Lakshmi Devi became attracted to Krishna, but we can recall how even Mahavishnu became attracted to Krishna. In the Krishna book, we know the pastime that Mahavishnu was so attracted that he was wondering how will he see that Krishna. And the story is there of the Brahmana who gave birth, whose wife gave birth, and every time the child was born, the child would die immediately upon giving birth. So the Brahman would go to the king and complain. If you're the king, you're doing something wrong. And that's why my child passed away. So this was such an age that, you know, the king was such a figure that anything that he did wrong affected everyone else. Luckily in the age of Kali, it's not such. Otherwise, the temple president would be very worried here. There would be a big line outside his door. So the Brahman anyway, second child came, he complained like this. And Arjuna heard about this and he said, why is Ugrasena being defamed? He's done nothing. So Arjuna, of course, he said immediately, he said, I will defend whoever it is that is coming to attack. And at the time of the delivery of the 10th child, He shot his arrows in the air and he created a house of arrows to protect the whole area. And of course, and as he was guarding, the 10th child appeared and he died. So of course Arjuna, shocked, he said, what happened then? And the Brahman came and cursed him as well. He said, what good are you as a Kshatriya? You couldn't even defend my child from leaving this, from someone taking my child. So of course Arjuna, as he always does, he said, by the end of today, if I do not find your child, I will commit suicide. His famous words. And throughout the Mahabharata, different things. He says, by the end of this, well, I will enter fire. He says, not suicide. He says, I will enter into fire, which is different, very different. He says, I will enter into fire. So, of course, he did it again. And Krishna, in the Mahabharata, it says, oh no, you've done it again, Arjuna. I have to now figure it out what's happening, you know, to save you by the end of today to find these children. So of course Krishna ventures out in his chariot and to the end of the coastal ocean, and there's severe darkness, so the horses are not traveling, if I remember rightly, and then he shoots his Sudarshan Chakra and there's immense light, and finally when they arrive, of course Arjuna had gone everywhere prior to this. He went to Yamaloka, he went everywhere. He couldn't find the children anywhere. That's why. So finally, Krishna and Arjuna, when they arrive, they see Mahavishnu lying on the causal ocean, and he has the 10 children, all of them. And he said, this was my plan, and by this plan, I knew I would see Krishna. This was the only way I would see Krishna. So even Mahavishnu, what to speak of Lakshmi Devi, even Mahavishnu is so attracted to Krishna that he had to put a whole plan in action how to actually see him. And what to speak of Mahavishnu, and what to speak of Lakshmi Devi, even Krishna is very attracted by his own form. In the palaces of Dwarka once, when he saw his reflection upon the marble, which was polished finely, and he saw a reflection and he saw someone so beautiful, he became very attracted. And he said, who is this person? And I'm so attracted by this form. So even Krishna himself becomes so attracted by his own form, what to speak of everyone else that Rupa Goswami is speaking about. Just recently when we were in Mayapur, Jananivas and Pankajangri were recollecting how Krishna is so attractive. And definitely if you stand here in front of Radha Gokulananda or Radha Madhava, wherever our the deities are, you'll be very attracted by their form. Unfortunately, because of our conditioning, it only lasts about 3 minutes. And after that, we're attracted to so many other things of this world that takes away our attention. So they were just mentioning how attracted Krishna was. And when he had come here last year, he mentioned that his sister had come and she'd become very, attracted to everything here. So she had cancer and she was passing away. And none of the family knew of it. So they rang both the brothers in India and said, she's in a coma and she probably has hours or perhaps a day and she will leave this world. So both of them, being brothers, they immediately said, well, give the phone to her. She was in a coma at that time. So they placed the phone, thanks to the mobile phone now, you can ring India or anywhere, middle of the Ganga, wherever you are, you can call someone. So they placed the phone by her ear and they started to chant the Maha Mantra. And they started describing the beauty of Chaitanya and Krishna like this. They were just reciting some verses. So they didn't, and then the phone cut off, whatever reason. And then they had a call from, then they received a call a day later. That she was in a coma, but after that phone call, a few hours later, she woke up. She'd been in a coma for about 3 days or 4 days. But she woke up after that little conversation for a few minutes. And immediately when she woke up, she started saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. She was chanting. And she was looking around and saying, Krishna, Krishna. And then she went back into coma. And then she passed away, I think a day or something later. So they were saying how attractive, not just Krishna, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Their point was Chaitanya. Chaitanya Dev, so kind, so beautiful, so magnanimous. That once having seen him, you have no option but to remember that beautiful form. So they were just recollecting that principle of the attractiveness of Krishna. And I thought later on we'll look at this pastime of Lakshmi Devi and how she became so attracted to Krishna and she wanted to enter the Madhurya Leela, the Rasa dance. But just looking at Lakshmi Devi, I was looking at the principle which is there of Pada Sevanam. Lakshmi Devi exemplifies one of the 9 processes of devotion. Pada Sevanam, which means, our service to Krishna. Our service, which is a very important thing for each one of us here. Our service to Radha Gokulananda. We're all affiliated here at the manor, and our service is the most important. And Lakshmi Devi, she exemplifies this. The 9 processes I mentioned are Shavanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Pada Sevanam, Archanam Bandhanam Dasyam, Sakyam Atma Nivedanam. These are the 9 processes of devotional service that I mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Shavanam refers to hearing, that you can become perfect in your Krishna consciousness simply by hearing. And who exemplified that? Many, I'm sure, but Parikshit is always given as a good example. There are many others, of course, as well. And Kirtanam, you can become perfect by chanting or speaking about Krishna. Who's exemplifying that? Sukadev Goswami. He's speaking for 7 days and 7 nights. So quite amazing that he can speak for so long, and everyone is in rapt attention as well, of course, that are listening at the same time. We'll all have difficulty after 9 o'clock in speaking and in rapt attention, both items. It's not possible for us. And Smaranam. Prahlad, of course. Who? Many others? Anyone else? that time of the morning, isn't it? Difficult to get it all out. Prahlad, of course, was good. He's a good person, personality exemplifying. Padasevan, of course, we've said is Lakshmi. Archanam. Prithu. Prithu Maharaj. Vandanam. Akrura, of course. Akrura exemplifies and the prayers that he offered before entering Vrindavan. Dasyam. Hanuman. Of course, Hanuman. So many are there. Sakyam. Arjuna. And finally, Atma Nivedanam. Bali Maharaj, of course, he's always quoted. Bali Maharaj is always quoted. So specifically here, Lakshmi Devi is exemplifying Padasevan in our service, worshipping the lotus feet, translated often as our devotional service that we may perform. And the service is a very important principle that each one of us would have here to Radha Gokulananda. And I just thought I'd speak on some elements of service which are very essential. And specifically there are four elements of our serving here. Anywhere, wherever we're serving, they are very essential. The first one is camaraderie. That when we're serving, this is a very important principle, the working together. Working together. Or as we say, the team. That ultimately it's not you, me, us, them, I. It's actually all of us together and team. And they have a wonderful acronym for team, don't they? T-E-A-M. Together, everyone achieves more. T-E-A-M. So if we're all together, we can achieve so much more. So one principle of service is camaraderie or a team. We should all play our roles and not fight for others' roles. That's a principle that's given. We should all play our role, whatever our role is, let's play that role and not fight for everyone else's role. And often that happens in a temple, that we may be fighting for other people's roles. And if we do what's required of us, then, you know, wonderful things can happen. Isn't that that example is given of a kindergarten? When the children were all told that this is the annual kindergarten fair and today all the parents, everyone is coming, and on the opening we just want you to do what you're told. Play your role. Don't play anyone else's role. So each one was told that the stage is totally in darkness. It's night. You pick up a specific placard and you stand in a specific place. Just do that. And they, you know, they all didn't want to do that. They wanted to pick up whichever placard they wanted and stand where they wanted. But they said, no, you've got to pick up a specific placard and stand in a specific place. So finally, they all did it. They played their role. And, you know, it was dark. They pick up the placard. They stood there. And when the curtain opened, there was... Well, the curtain didn't open because it was already open. It was just dark. There was like a standing ovation. And everyone wondered why that was. It's because the placard, it said, welcome. And if each child had picked up the wrong one or stood in the wrong place, it wouldn't have spelt welcome. So often, this principle is there, that if we play our roles, whatever our roles are, rather than other people's roles. Another principle of service, very important principle, is sincerity. And that's, you don't need to be reminded. You don't always need to be reminded what needs to be done. But you should be inspired. Isn't it? They never told me I should be doing this. But actually, after many years, you should be inspired to do what's needed. So that's sincerity. You don't always need to be asked. But you should be inspired to do what's needed. Humility is the third aspect of service. Very important principle in our lives. And we can have a debate, long debate, what it really means. But Prabhupada says, whatever is needed, I will do. big or small. Whatever is needed, I will do, big or small. Isn't it just before I went to India, I met Sutapa on the staircase in the ashram, and he was mopping the staircase. And when I came back from India, he had gone and met the Queen. He met the Queen at Lambeth Palace. Wonderful photograph. You can log on to our website, krishnatemple.com, or on his blog as well, Tattva. Quick advert here. You'll notice he's meeting the Queen, which the Archbishop of Canterbury next to her. Highest person in this kingdom, yes, absolutely. She holds the highest position. And the head of the church, which is the official state church here. So humility, you can do, whether it's big or small, you do it. You do it. Whether you're meeting the Queen or you're cleaning the ashram. That's humility. And finally, simplicity. The fourth aspect of service. Very important aspect. And, you know, simplicity, as Prabhupada often says, Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple, and it's complicated for the crooked, or complicated. So often our lives are a little bit like that. Sometimes it's simple, and sometimes we get into a whole maneuvering of debates and discussions, which are all healthy, of course, at the end of the day, so long as we're not motivated. So simplicity. And going back to our purport here, to bring it back onto that principle again, that, you know, a very good example of simplicity is Lakshmi Devi. Why? Because she wanted to attract the attention of Narayan, Vishnu. So she didn't know what to do. She does many things. So she decided that, let me sweep the floor. She was sweeping the floor in Vaikuntha to attract the attention of Narayan. It's a good thing all husbands can use and say, look, even Lakshmi Devi was sweeping the floor to attract the attention of her husband. And Narayan became very attracted. He was wondering, what's going on? This is amazing. And do you know why it's amazing? Because there is no dust in Vaikuntha. There is no dust in Vaikuntha, but she's sweeping the floor just to do something very simple to attract the attention of the Lord. So that is there as well. Looking at today's verse and so on, and Lakshmi Devi not entering into the rasa dance. I thought we'd just look at the some principles of our relationship with Krishna. As we know, there are five principal rasas, and shantaras, adoration of Krishna, adoration of the Lord is considered shantaras. Dasya is servitude, as we all know. Sakya is friendship. Vatsalya is the principle of parental love. And finally, Madhurya is conjugal. These are all relationships that one can have with the Lord. And the prominent examples of all of these as well, which are given, just as with the nine processes of bhakti. So, Santarash, anyone? Kumaras, of course, are always quoted. Dasya, the servitude, who is quoted often? Hanuman? Yeah, Hanuman is always quoted as the servant of Lord Ram. And he wouldn't change from that. Wouldn't change even when he knows Krishna as the personality of Godhead, but still he is the devotee of Hanuman. Still remains that in his position. Sakyaras? Sridham, Sudham, Stoka Krishna. Who else? Arjuna, yes, yes. This is Sakyaras. And Vatsalya, parental love. Devi Kivasudev, Nanda Yashoda. And of course, finally, we have Madhuri Ras, which is Gopis of Vrindavan. These are all standard things, but reminding everyone, because I can't remember them often. Gauridas does the Nectar Devotion course, so I'm sure they've gone deeper into it than all of us. There's an interesting statement which is made, of course, that all liberated devotees are in absolute transcendence. And one does not hanker for the perfection of another. As related to today's verse about Lakshmi Devi. But the Vaishnavacharyas, they've commented and analyzed the rasas, and they showed that there is a progression in affection. There's a definite progression in affection and a diminishing of feelings of awe and reverence from servitude to madhurya. That's very much there. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes very nicely in the CC 6, Adi Leela 653. You've been looking at the folio, you can tell. He writes very nicely that although there is a progression in intimacy in the rasas from Santaras to Madhuriras, they are all based on the ecstasy of service to the Lord. And specifically he writes, love for Krishna has this one unique effect. It imbues superiors, equals and inferiors with the spirit of service to Lord Krishna. It imbues superiors, equals, and inferiors with the spirit of service to Krishna. So Lakshmi Devi, of course, is very much related within all our literatures with the principle of opulence, which is given there. And often in this material world, she has a different name. In the material world, she's called anyone. Chanchala, because she's always moving. And hence our opulence as our wallet or our bank balance seems to decrease and increase with time. She's Chanchala, whereas in the spiritual world, she's fixed. She's staying there. I was just remembering even a thought here that she in the Bhagavatam, the story is given of the churning of the ocean of milk, and that's where Lakshmi appears. Isn't that right? She's one of the items that comes. And she marries Narayan because she wonders who's the most qualified person I can marry. And it was Narayan that she marries at that stage. So that's another story, side story of Lakshmi Devi, which may be there. In the pastimes of Lord Jagannath, Lakshmi Devi also appears quite a lot. And this principle of being Chanchala, I thought I'd look at for a few moments. That, you know, some moments she can be there and your opulence is there. And when she leaves, all your opulence seems to diminish as well. And the story is there of Lord Jagannath Baladev and someone from the lower caste. And her name was Shriya Chandulani. Famous story of Shriya Chandulani. And she was from the lower caste. So once, within Puri, the custom in Orissa still is that in the month of Magha Sesha, that every Thursday, one worships Lakshmi Devi, just in that month. The Thursday is dedicated to Lakshmi Devi. So all the ladies, they will worship Lakshmi Devi in the month of Magha Sesha. And Thursday, what they will all do is get up early. Pushyodha Maharaj was mentioning his mother, his sister, everyone does that in this month. They will clean the house before the sun rises. Because it's said that Lakshmi Devi will visit every house on that day. And if she notices that the house is unclean, as we do in Lakshmi Puja, isn't it? You clean the house. See, if she notices that the house is not clean, she will remove herself from that house. So it's a good thing it's not every day she's coming. She's only coming in the month of Magha and she's only coming on a Thursday. And so she would take the form, Lakshmi Devi. Of course, Lakshmi Devi is in the temple of Jagannath, and she cooks, if you remember, with her maidservant. She cooks everything for Jagannath Baladev. So she cooks everything. She's the cook. So on that day, she was given permission that she would leave the temple and she would take the form of a Brahmani and she would go and visit different individuals. So on this occasion, she visited the house of a rich merchant, and she noticed that no one was up in the family. That the wife of the merchant, the servants, everyone was sleeping and no one had cleaned the house. So finally she spoke to the merchant's wife and said, you know, during Margasesha, every Thursday it's dedicated to Lakshmi Devi and you should clean your house before the sun rises. So the sun is risen and you haven't cleaned and you should worship Lakshmi Devi in that way. And the merchant's wife said, we do not believe in all this. She said, we do not believe in all this. Unknown to her, of course, this was Lakshmi Devi. So Lakshmi Devi, hearing this, she immediately removed her opulence from that home. And it said that from that day, the entire family had to live by begging. Such is the custom and tradition in Orissa, imagine. That, you know, took it very seriously. And but then she decided, she went further. And she went to the house, she went to the colony where the untouchables, they had all these different qualities, chandalas, lower caste, whatever. And she went to the house of Shriya Chandulani. And she had been up early and she had cleaned the house and she had made offerings to Lakshmi Devi and done puja. So when Lakshmi Devi, in the form of this Brahmani arrived, she was so happy, she told Chandulani that from now on, all my opulence will reside in this house. And immediately the whole house became opulent, of course. And everyone became extremely wealthy and so on and so forth. Now on that same day, Jagannath and Balaram, they were also taking a walk on that Thursday. They really seem to take walks and see what's going on in the kingdom. They take the form of young men, as you always will hear. In many places. So they took that form and they were walking. And Balaram saw that Lakshmi Devi had entered the colony of untouchables. So she told Jagannath that from today, when Lakshmi Devi comes back, she will contaminate our temple. And you have to tell her that she is not allowed in our temple anymore. She has to stay outside of the temple. So Jagannath, he protested. He said, my God, you know, I'm not going to say that to my wife, my God. But because he's the older brother, he had to listen. The customs of Orissa, it said in that story. You listen to your older brother. So he had the bad task. And he said, when Lakshmi Devi arrived, he said to her that, sorry, you should not have gone to the Chandala's house. Of course, she protested. And she had a protest and she said, when you married me, you promised my father that you would forgive up to 10 offenses that I would commit. So, you know, we haven't reached one even. And then she said, but it is already agreed that every Thursday I would go out and meet my devotees. That's an agreement between all of us. So I haven't broken any code. And Jagannath, of course, said, I'm sorry, but Balaram is very strong on this. You've got it. So she left. Now, when Lakshmi Devi leaves, all her associates who are cooking, of course, and looking after, also left. So the next morning, the opulence of the Jagannath temple had disappeared. And Balaram was feeling a little hungry. At the end of the day, you know, the husband knows the meal will come at the end of the day. No arguments. So he said, where is the meal? We eat every hour. It's already afternoon and we're hungry. And Jagannath said, of course, Lakshmi Devi has left. So then Balaram said, we'll go and cook ourselves. Isn't it? the ladies can all imagine, the husbands are trying to cook, you know, they don't know how to turn on the gas, I think, generally. They're trying to cook. So when they arrived, the associates of Lakshmi Devi had broken all the pots for cooking and all the ovens in protest. So nothing was left. So Balaram, he thought, oh my God, well, we better go out and beg. We'll go and beg, and hopefully when we beg, someone will give us something. But because Lakshmi Devi had left, they took on the forms of ordinary individuals. So they looked very rough because Lakshmi Devi had left the temple. So even when they went to beg alms, no one would give them anything. Nothing was given to them. So finally, they went to a temple where they were distributing prasadam, and this lady had just offered some puffed rice to the deities. And you know how it is there. You know, you come and you offer something and they'll offer it to the Lord and they give it back to you. Very spontaneous. And as she was going away, Jagannath and Balaram said, can we have, you know, something? And she felt very sad and she said, yes, you can have it. So she put out 2 palm leaves in their hands and she poured the puff rice. And Lakshmi Devi now, who was the controller, told Varuna Devi, immediately have a storm in this area. So all the puff rice and the leaf went flying away. Then Lakshmi Devi instructed Surya Devi to increase his heat. So they were walking bare feet and they went to a pond. They were very thirsty. And when they arrived at the pond, the heat was so intense that all the water evaporated. Then they said, there are some leaves on this tree. Let us eat at least the leaves. And they went to eat the leaves. And the heat dried up all the leaves. Suddenly, then they thought, oh my God, we're not getting anywhere here. It's really a bad day. You know, sometimes we think we're having a bad day, you know. They thought they were really having a bad day here. So then finally, they were asked, where can we get some food to eat? And they said, there is a colony and there is a very charitable householder. Her name is Shriya Chandulani. And you will get some food from there because they always give something to everyone. So Balaram said, we are really starving. We've got to eat something. You know, they used to eating every hour. You know, whole day is gone. Nothing to eat. So finally when they arrived there and they were going to, and Balaram said, we can't really eat food cooked by the untouchables. Just give us all the items and we'll cook ourselves. So Balaram said to Krishna, to Jagannath, you cook, I'm going for a bath. And when I come back, hopefully everything will be ready. So, of course, Krishna put on his gumsha and he was cooking. But, you know, he couldn't light the fire. So hours went and Balaram came back and he was hungry. He said, I've had a bath. Where's the meal? And he noticed that Krishna hasn't even done anything. So he chastised Krishna heavily. You haven't even cooked. He said, I'll have to take charge now. So he started to light the fire. And the oven lit, but everything went up in smoke. And there was so much smoke and that all the assistants and cooks, everyone was choking on the smoke. And then Balaram surrendered and he said, look, actually they can cook. We'll eat their cooking now. Whatever they cook, but they should be clean. They should have a bath. So, of course, then the servants all cooked. And Krishna and Balaram started to eat. And when they started to eat, they said, wait a minute. This food tastes so good. It is exactly like Lakshmi Devi's. And then they were thinking, wondering what's happening. Then at the end of their meal, there was a cake, a special cake. It's a Jagannath cake. They were given and they said, wait a minute. How do they know that we like this cake at the end of this meal? Then they realized Lakshmi Devi must be here. And she appeared and she had cooked the whole meal. And then Balaram, of course, repented and he said, yes, from now on, you never need to leave Jagannath temple. You can stay here, but you must promise that you can go out on the Thursdays, but you must return. And Lakshmi Devi, of course, she asked for a benediction that not only should you two be honoring my prasad, but everyone, regardless of caste, color, creed, they can respect my prasadam. So that is there in the Jagannath temple. that everyone from all castes in the Jagannath temple, they have an area and everyone can eat that prasadam together. And he said that even a dog, if he eats this prasadam, it is still considered pure and a Brahman can eat from that same plate. So that principle is given in this story, this instructive story about Lakshmi Devi. Just to digress a little and keep everyone awake with the story there. On that principle. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was meeting with Venkata Bhatta, and they were discussing, because of course he's from Srirangam and the Sri Sampradaya, so he discussed the supremacy of Narayan over Shiva, because that was an interesting discussion. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just quoted the position of the Ganga to him, if you remember that. That the Ganga, when it appears, it washes the foot of Lord Vishnu. Because it's already washed the feet of Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, then later on, he takes it upon his head. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that just see that even Lord Shiva, he wants to have this water upon his head, which has bathed the feet of Lord Vishnu, showing the position, the superior position of Lord Narayan compared to Lord Shiva. And then, of course, he went on to speak about which is superior, Narayan or Krishna. And the example that he gives is the example in our purport today of Lakshmi Devi, where he shows that that she aspired for the association of Krishna. Although she has everything with Narayan, but she has aspiration for the company of Krishna. On the other hand, Mahaprabhu said that the gopis have no attraction to Narayan. If you remember, Krishna had disappeared from the rasa dance and they were looking for Krishna, but they couldn't find him anywhere. That Krishna took the form of Narayan, four-armed form. And when the gopis arrived there, they weren't attracted by him at all. They said, where is Krishna? And of course, it was the same Krishna who ultimately couldn't keep his position. The two arms disappeared and became Krishna, of course. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his discussion, used that as an example. And the principle is that even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or Lakshmi Devi cannot enter into the rasa dance, which is explained. But, you know, the Acharyas speak about this principle that even though they cannot enter, if we follow the path chalked out by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can achieve a position there. Just see the amazing position which is allowed to all of us. Uddhava, I thought I'd quote the famous verse from Uddhava here. Asam aho, charam renu. Everyone remember that verse? The gopis of Vrindavan have given up the association of their husbands, sons and other family members who are very difficult to renounce, and they have sacrificed even their religious principles to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, which are sought after even by the Vedas. O Lord, grant me the fortune to be born as a blade of grass in Vrindavan so that I may take the dust of those great souls upon my head. The story of Lakshmi Devi, which is referred to in our purport, the Acharyas speak about this, where they say, in Kamyavan, there is a place where Lakshmi Devi performed severe austerities to become a gopi. So it was Kamyavan. That's where she performed. Although she remained Lakshmi and did not attain her goal, she nevertheless had the opportunity to speak with her beloved Krishna. And the next verse goes on. In Kamyavan, there is a place where Lord Krishna manifested the milk ocean, expanded himself as Anantasesha, transformed himself as Shiradakshai Vishnu, and then sat down on the body of Ananta. Srimati Radharani then became the beautiful Lakshmi Devi, who with humbly bowed head began to massage Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. This sight greatly delighted Srimati Radharani's gopi friends. And finally, in the 12th forest of Raj, There are many groves filled with charming places where Krishna, the moon of Vrindavan, performs pastimes with his dear associates. These places are filled with such transcendental opulence that they cause the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, to weep with envy. So this is all in conjunction with Rupa Goswami's Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Just speaking a little bit further on the conversation that was had by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Venkata Bhatta. So during the rainy season, Lord Chaitanya stayed at Sri Rangam in South India. And he spoke to the three brothers, Venkata Bhatta, Tirumala Bhatta, and Prabodhananda Saraswati. Yes, Prabodhananda Saraswati. He was always Prabodhananda Saraswati, or he had a different name? Don't know. Anyway, he becomes Prabodhananda Saraswati. So we can't remember the third name as such. And, you know, the debate was all about that Venkata Bhatta had thought that the worship of Lakshmi Narayan was the highest. Because, you know, you'll always get this argument. Always. So that conversation is there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Venkata Bhatta, your Lord is the master of Vaikuntha. And my Lord is only a cowherd boy. So how is it that Lakshmi, who is the most chaste wife of Narayan, wanted to enjoy pastimes with my Lord Krishna, who's only a cowherd boy? So he's using that as a discussion about who would be the supreme personality. And Venkata Bhatta replies that since Krishna and Narayan are both the same personality, Lakshmi's association with Krishna does not break her vow of chastity. So this conversation goes on. But what is it that fixes someone onto Krishna? And Rupa Goswami explains this, of course, why Krishna is the highest. And he mentions that, of course, Krishna has four extra qualities. Everyone remember that? From Narayan. So that is there. And you remember those students of Nectar Devotion? Yes. Uh-huh. Anyone remember the Sanskrit? That's it, yes. Lila Madhuri, which means that sweet pastimes, like the Rasa dance, this is what differs him. Venu Madhuri, the playing of the flute, an outstanding, you know, pleasure that it gives. Rupa Madhuri, which is a sweet form, which is beyond compare. And finally, Guna Madhuri, which is his wonderful qualities, and he's surrounded by wonderful devotees. So these four aspects differ him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is quoting that in his discussion with Venkata Bhatta. Nice conversation that's there. And of course, why is it that Lakshmi Devi couldn't enter the Rasa dance, which is then answered in that conversation, that no one can enter Vrindavan without becoming a follower of one of the eternal residents of Vrindavan. So specifically, Lakshmi Devi was not prepared to follow the gopis. She couldn't enter Vrindavan. In particular, she wasn't willing to give up her Aishwarya, her opulence of Vaikuntha. And she wasn't prepared to give up her forearm form. And hence, she couldn't take on the form of the gopi. But as in our purport here, she becomes a golden lion on the chest of Krishna, as mentioned here. Of course, in order to reconcile all of this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his conversation with Venkata Bhatta, he says that Lakshmi is just an expansion of Radharani. Therefore, in the form of Radharani, Lakshmi will be able to enjoy the pastimes of Krishna. So it's a very good discussion that he's having with Venkata Bhatta, seeing the sensitivities and how he takes that argument to a conclusion without blowing everyone away, as we might do often. He takes it in a nice format. which is there. Looking at the time, it's 9 o'clock even now. There's some more that we can speak, but I just thought I'd finish on the story of Lakshmi Devi here again. And Gaur Govinda Swami, in his book, The Embankment of Separation, speaks on this, of this specific pastime, just to connect it further, this specific pastime of the queens that they couldn't enter the Rasa dance. They couldn't imagine what the residents of Vrindavan were doing. So he relates that in Dwarka, Krishna has 16,108 queens. But the queens of Dwarka, they were not able to enter into the Madhurya Leela. So one day, the queens of Dwarka, they asked Rohini that very often we hear Krishna crying out in his sleep. And he's crying out, Radha, Radha, Gopi, Gopi. And can you please shed some light on this? What is this all about? So once when Rohini was there and the queens of Vrindavan, queens of Dwarka said, right now, Krishna and Balaram have gone to the Sudharma hall. So now, please, can you sit with us and tell us why Krishna behaves in this way? And Rohini described that this is Krishna's Vrajalila. Very sweet, intoxicating leela that he has. And she explained that... please take a seat. She explained that it is so intoxicating and enchanting that even Krishna and Balaram are attracted to it. And whoever hears it will become very intoxicated and attracted to it. So Rohini said, let me speak about this. But she said, soon as in wherever Krishna and Balaram are, if they hear these pastimes, they'll be attracted and they'll run here immediately and I'll have to stop. And she said, but in order to guard this place, to stop Krishna and Balaram coming in, someone should stand at the door. So Gaur Govinda Swami tells this story. And he says that they all decided it will be Subhadra. So Subhadra is sent outside the room and she stands there and she has to stand with her hands like this so the doors are blocked. So no one can come in, no one can get out. And then Rohini begins to recite these pastimes of Krishna and Balaram and their childhood pastimes and other pastimes of Vrindavan. And everyone becomes very absorbed. And Subhadra, who's also at the door, upon hearing these pastimes, she becomes very absorbed in these pastimes. And she begins to manifest symptoms of ecstasy. And her eyes become dilated, become very large. And her arms begin to go inside her body, and her legs also go inside her body. They begin to shrink. So she becomes in a trance. Now Krishna and Balaram, who are in the Sudharma hall, wherever they are, they can hear these pastimes. So they started hearing these pastimes, and immediately they ran. And they wanted to hear these pastimes as well. And when they arrived, they noticed that Subhadra was in a trance. And her arms were shrinking, and her eyes were getting bigger. And of course, she wasn't going to warn anyone because she was in a trance. So Krishna and Balaram stood next to her on either side and they had ears against the door and they started listening to the pastimes. And upon hearing these sweet pastimes, also their eyes began to dilate, became very big, and their arms and limbs became very shrunk and they exhibited this Mahabhava Prakash, this form of ecstasy. And Narada Muni, who was passing through Dwarka, he noticed these three forms. And when he noticed these three forms, he said, Narayan, Narayan. Immediately, Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra, seeing that someone had come, immediately assumed the original forms. And Narada Muni said, I have seen it. I have seen it. You cannot trick me. this ecstatic form of yours, like tortoises, he explained it, like tortoises with limbs which have come inside their bodies, with huge eyes, he said, this form which gives ecstasy. And he asked that, I have seen this form, but I want everyone to see this form. And anyone who sees this form will immediately get the same love that Rohini is speaking about. So of course, Krishna, he gives a benediction. The benediction is that I will appear in Nilachal, in that form. And in that form, everyone will be able to take my darshan. And whatever their desires are, I will fulfill in Jagannath Puri. So that's again related to this pastime of Lakshmi Devi and the queens of Dwarka. And I began with speaking about Chaitanya Mangal by Lochan Das Thakur. And Lochan Das Thakur in his Chaitanya Mangal tells a wonderful story of Lakshmi Devi as well, to finish off. And this pastime is all about the pastime of the prasadam of Lord Narayan. Once Narada Muni had come to serve Lakshmi Devi with rapt attention, and he asked her at the end of that, is there, Lakshmi Devi said, what would you like? And Narada was very clever. He said, will you fulfill whatever desires I have? Whatever I ask. Interesting way to ask the benediction. Before asking it, the condition is given. Lakshmi Devi said, yes, whatever it is. And of course, what did he ask for? He said, I want the remnants of Lord Narayan. And Lakshmi Devi became very disturbed. She said, well, just a little while ago, Lord Narayan told me from now on, his remnants cannot be given to anyone. So she said, I'm in great anxiety. But he said, no, you made a promise, I want it. So of course, at noon, when she was serving Lord Narayan the meal, Lakshmi Devi was in great anxiety, and Lord Narayan noticed this. He said, my wife is serving me, but I can see that it's not herself. Something is wrong. Husbands always figure out something wrong with the wife. Something is wrong. So he said, something is wrong with you. What's wrong? And she told of a dilemma. And Lord Narayan said, just this once, I will look away, and you take my remnants. It's boga, of course, not prasadam. Whatever's served to me is boga, but whenever I've finished eating, you take the plate away. I will not look. So in this way, you're not breaking your promise. So of course, that plate is given to Narayan Muni, who goes in great ecstasy. And in his ecstasy, he's all over the universe, and he arrives in Kailash. And when Lord Shiva sees him, and he says, what are you doing? He said, I've just taken Mahaprasad of Lord Narayan. And Lord Shiva said, well, where's my share? And he said, well, I ate everything. There's nothing left. But then when he looked in his finger, he noticed that there was one thread still in there. Kanika Mahaprasad. In Orissa, the custom is Kanika Mahaprasad, which means small, small. Little prasadam you take. So, when he stuck his finger out, Lord Shiva, he put his mouth, took that Mahaprasad, and he went into ecstasy that he started dancing, that the universe was dissolving. And no one could stop him, the demigods, everyone tried. And finally they asked, Parvati, you go and appease your husband, you stop him from dancing. And she stopped him, and she said, why were you dancing like this? And of course he said, I had the Mahaprasad of Lord Narayan. And you know what her question was? Where's my share? And he said, oh, there was no share left. So she became really angry, as any wife would. And her anger meant the universe was dissolving. And the demigods got worried. Everyone got worried. They finally came to Lord Narayan and said, do something. So Lord Narayan, he appeared there and said to Lakshmi Devi, I will give you all my Mahaprasad. Please stop this anger. And she replied, that is not enough, because I am the mother of the universe. Everyone in this universe, they are my children. The animals, the birds, everyone, they are my children. I want that this prasad is available for everyone. So of course, Lord Vishnu gives a benediction that this Mahaprasad will be available for everyone. Everyone will be able to, that's the Jagannath Mahaprasad, it will be the highest prasadam. And regardless of caste, whatever it is, that prasadam will be distributed to all. So that's just a side story on Lakshmi Devi. Go to Premanande.